James Marshall is lay leader.
Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Today, we will continue to look at how we can build strong and healthy churches as we have meditated in Ephesians. Over the past few weeks, Paul emphasized last week that the church and its members can live a healthy and powerful Christian life through the filling of the Holy Spirit. In today's text, Paul adds that the only way for believers to fight against avoidable spiritual forces in this world is to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12 says that our fight is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. As believers, we must fight spiritual warfare from the moment we were called by God. So Paul says that we always need to be prepared to fight spiritual enemies. These days, we are realizing the existence of a pervasive evil all over the world more than ever. Evil is everywhere around us. Facing the evil forces of our world can be a frightening experience alone. But we are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us and gives us the means not only to defend ourselves, but to take the battle to the enemy. Furthermore, we can win. If God is for us, who can be against us? Thanks be to God for the victory he gives us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Perhaps Satan's greatest triumph is to stop people from taking him seriously. I was surprised to find that there are many pastors who say they do not acknowledge Satan or hell. And even if they do not preach such topics. I think that is one of the reasons the church has been weakened today. The first tactic of war is to know the enemy. But because we are ignorant of our enemy, his strategy, his power, his vast army, and his infernal plans, we have failed to defeat him. Although we received from the Lord all the weapons we need. You may be surprised to learn how much the Bible says about the devil. He first appears in Genesis chapter 3 and last in Revelation chapter 20, from the beginning to the end. Among his many titles, he is said to be Satan, the devil, the serpent, and the deceiver, the evil one, and the accuser of the brother. Every New Testament writer mentions him. Jesus began his public ministry by overcoming temptation from the devil for 40 days. And our Lord warns us numerously about the existence of the devil in his teachings. There is much we do not know about the devil, but we know some facts based on the Bible. The devil is a real being. In the beginning, he was an angel of God. In pride, he sought to be exalted like God himself. When he was cast out of heaven, one third of the angels followed him. Those fallen angels we call demons. Where is the devil's domain today? Not hell. He's not in hell yet. According to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We live in a rebellious world controlled by the devil himself. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have been thrown into a spiritual battle that rages all around us. In that battle, every believer is on the front lines. All have been called to active duty. Jesus told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. When Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, he was imprisoned in Rome. Perhaps Paul was in chains, and Roman soldiers were guarding him day and night. At that time, it seems that Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit through the image of a Roman soldier who was always fully armed for battle. Seeing this, Paul was inspired to have such weapons, not only in physical battles, but also in spiritual battles. And he realized that Christians should put on the full armor of God, which is spiritual armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17, Paul tells us how we should fight back against the devil. He describes six parts of the soldier's uniform: the belt and breastplate, the shoes, the shields, helmet, and shield is left hand for me, and sword. Paul lists them in the exact order a soldier would put them on. Paul saw the belt as the first piece of armor because a soldier would put the belt on first, as it covered the most vulnerable organs and held other pieces of armor in place. Paul tells us, fasten the belt of truth, around your waist. If we know the truth in Jesus Christ, we can live confidently by defeating the temptation of the devil as Jesus did in the desert. So, did you wear your belt of truth today? Next, when Paul saw the breastplate that guards the heart of the soldiers, he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is a great defense. If we live a righteous life in Jesus Christ, we will not be shaken by any temptations and hindrances of the devil. Next, Paul saw the soldiers' shoes. Shoes on our feet are a sign of readiness to perform our mission. The soldier with his boots off is at a serious disadvantage when the war suddenly broke out. Our mission as Christians is to proclaim the gospel. We need to be ready to speak boldly whenever, wherever the Lord brings us the opportunity to do it. So, first was what? Belt of truth. Next is breastplate of righteousness. Next is shoes, readiness to preach the gospel. And Paul saw next soldier's shield. The word that he uses here is not the small round shield, but was the tall oblong shield that was designed for maximum defense. Paul tells us to take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. Next, Paul saw the soldier's helmet and said to take the helmet of salvation. Shoes, then shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. The helmet is one of the soldier's most important pieces of equipment. Even a small splinter of a shrapnel can do terrible damage if it strikes a soldier in the head. Just as Christ overcame death overcame death and gave us salvation, so he was able to grant salvation in all our battles. Finally, Paul saw the soldier's sword and called us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is the only offensive weapon. The Bible is our sword, the weapon that allows us to go on the offensive against the enemy. Note that when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert, he used words from Scripture to defend himself against each of Satan's temptations. We can do the same, my brothers and sisters in Christ. But we must train with the Bible now if we are to be able to use it in battle. The believer who arms himself or herself with the Word of God will never lack a weapon in the battle. As such, if you are putting on all six pieces of armor, which are truth, righteousness, ready to proclaim the word, faith, and salvation, and finally, Word of God, then you have a picture of a Christian soldier fully armed for battle. Hallelujah. And then Paul tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit. Paul understood that he could stand strong only through the power of God. So he asked the Ephesian Christians to pray on his behalf. Prayer is our lifeline. God resupplies us with everything we need for spiritual battle through prayer. At the end of World War I, the commander-in-chief of the British Army was General Edmund Allenby. He was a devout Christian and was known as a man of prayer. At that time, Jerusalem was occupied by the Islamic State of Turkey, and the British king ordered General Allenby to restore Jerusalem. However, the Turkish army was the most powerful army in the world at that time. So the restoration of Jerusalem was not as easy as it sounds. If there was a way, it would be to capture it with a concentrated bombardment, and that would inevitably cause the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. However, General Allenby could not destroy Jerusalem, the holy city where Jesus had walked in the ancient times, with his own hands. So he postponed the attack and asked the King of England whether he should take Jerusalem with that kind of cost. In response, the king ordered him to find another way to conquer Jerusalem without destroying it. After General Allenby received the order, he began to pray while fasting to God. He prayed earnestly to help to reclaim the city of Jerusalem and offer it to God. He also ordered all the soldiers to pray together. Meanwhile, the Turkish army inside the city of Jerusalem grew terrified when they heard that General Allenby was leading the army. This is because the word Allenby means God opposes or God resists in Turkish. The Turkish soldiers feared, how can we resist God? In fact, the Turkish army was stronger and had higher morale than the British army. However, hearing the name of General Allenby, the Turkish army lost its fighting spirit. Finally, the Turkish army opened the gates of Jerusalem and conveyed its intention to surrender unconditionally to the British. And the British entered Jerusalem without firing a single shot. With General Allenby in the lead, taking off their hats and singing hymns, marching into the city of Jerusalem. Here is a lesson from this story. Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, which is God's armor, not ours. Everything Christians need, we already have in Jesus Christ. Remember, we are to fight in the name of Jesus. We are to fight with the name of Jesus. We are to fight for the name of Jesus. Amen? Christ is our armor. I still remember a story that one of the Sunday school teachers shared at a class I attended a long time ago. In his dream, he saw many demons approaching him. He was so fearful and afraid, so he called out to God to help him, shouting, "Jesus Christ!" Surprisingly, in that moment when he called on the name of Jesus Christ, all the demons disappeared at once. He emphasized that even in dreams, Jesus Christ becomes our armor. And I also tried in my dreams, and it worked. It worked. Our Lord fights with us and through us and for us, so that we are not left alone on the battlefield. We must still go into battle, but God provides the armor. He gives us whatever we need, whenever we need, so that no believer ever needs to be defeated by the devil. May God grant us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we may put on the full armor of God to defeat the devil and bring God's name to be glorified in this world. God's people say, amen, amen.